You've got questions, we've got answers. It's Bible and Mailbag. Hello, welcome back to Bible Line. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez, and today it's Bible Line Mailbag. You have questions, we have answers. We're going to answer at least four user-submitted questions or listener-submitted questions today, and the whole point of them is to kind of go over them quickly. Like I told you, if you are emailing us questions at BibleLineMinistries.org, I am behind. At the time of this recording, I just passed 200 again that still need to be answered. I'm working on them as quick as I can, but I encourage you to be patient. Always check what we've already answered here on the YouTube sections. And also on our website, BibleLineMinistries.org. Hello, my name is blank. I am 72 years old. I live in Australia. In my past, I have sinned horrifically in ways that made me so ashamed. I have accepted Jesus as my Savior. I am now learning God's word in the Bible with some difficulty with my understanding of terminology, which brings me to you. Which I think is a wonderful testimony that somebody has trusted Christ as their Savior and now has found our channel. I believe the Lord is all in that process. His question is this: what is works in a very simple form for a simple man such as myself? And I think that's where I'll end because he has a lot of other filler things that are not necessarily relevant. But he asked the question, what is works? This is what I said to him. I'm glad to read that you have found the truth in Jesus Christ. Remember, you are eternally secured in Jesus because his payment for your sin has been applied to your sin debt. Once you believed on him for eternal life, then you forever became a child of God. Works in the simplest of definitions is an act, deed, or thing done. Good works are acts, deeds, or things done that are in line with God's instructions for his children. Things like praying, sharing the gospel, loving one another, the fruit of the Spirit, careful study of God's word are all examples of good works. We as believers are instructed to be careful to maintain good works because these things are good and profitable unto men. And that's a cross-reference with Titus 3 and verse 8. Focus on this question. And I would say this to the gentleman who wrote in and to you as well, who are wondering, what are good works? Lord, what would you have me to do right now? Obedience is the way to blessings, close fellowship with the Lord, and rewards in heaven. It also leads to your profitability here. The Lord's going to be able to use you much better. So hopefully that answers your question about works. Another person sent in, short and sweet. This person's name, Isaac, says, why do the righteous suffer in this world? Excellent, excellent question. Here's why. The righteous suffer in this world because they stand for Jesus and the world is opposed to Jesus. I'm going to read you John 15, 18 through 21. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. He's talking to his disciples here, which I think is also for us. Therefore, the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours. Meaning if they remember what Jesus said, they're going to remember what you said and use it against you. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. So that's why I believe the righteous suffer in this world. But from the perspective of our new life in Christ, that suffering is temporary. As a matter of fact, I'm going to Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Next question here comes from Kevin. Pastor Jesse, I attend a Calvary Chapel in my area, but recently found your YouTube channel and find your review videos on point and easy to understand. The YouTube algorithm has recently been suggesting videos with near-death experiences. I usually don't watch them, but felt compelled to watch the one on Destiny Images YouTube's channel titled, I Saw Hell and Jesus Told Me Why Only 2.5% Make It to Heaven. I was not shocked to find that the person's experience was contrary to Scripture and that the Jesus that he encountered presented a message about salvation that contradicts the Bible. This is why. You're good. You're good, Kevin. You're good. And I know the rest of the email, so I know how the story ends there. But this is Paul, Galatians 1:6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there is some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That message, contrary to the scripture, it's wrong. It looks like the man's story is being copied on several YouTube channels and could mislead those without discernment. Wanted to bring this to your attention as it might be a good topic to do for a review video. Maybe one day we probably won't, because I think it's already sufficient. The rest of our channel teaches about those things. But Kevin, mark and avoid anybody who says they had a "I went to hell and Jesus told me" experience, because we have the word of God and that is going to be sufficient. Thank you very much, Kevin. We appreciate the support. Last one here, coming from somebody who I believe wants to remain anonymous. Yes. I have struggled with the assurance of my salvation for over 50 years, and it all begins with motives. When I first heard the gospel, 14, I was immediately aware that I was a hardcore sinner headed for hell. I believed that Jesus was the Son of God, and he lived a sinless life, and that he died on the cross to forgive me of all my sins. I responded by confessing that I was a sinner and asking God to forgive me of all my sins. I believed that my sins were forgiven, but I struggled with my motives. I did not have a hunger for spiritual things. I did not have a hunger to know God, but I did want to go to heaven. I didn't know whether or not God would accept me because I was afraid of hell, but didn't crave spiritual things. Throughout my subsequent life, I have sincerely wanted Jesus in my life, directing my every deed and leading me according to his will. But I've never been able to shake the fear that my motives were and are unacceptable to God. Well, the first thing is, and I wrote this here, you know, confession of your sin does not bring about everlasting life. Now, I don't know if you're just saying that because it's what you've heard, but obviously the important thing here is faith in Jesus Christ and what he did is what brings about everlasting life. The motives are going to be something that happen over the process of time. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Romans 12:2. And these things are so hard because there's so much teaching out there that teaches you've got to have a changed life, a changed heart to really prove that you're saved. But that's just not the case. I always tell you the first thing that comes to mind is the Corinthian church. But such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact is that this is going to be an ongoing process. Our sanctification is something that is progressive. And your motives are not supposed to judge whether you're saved or not. Your motives are supposed to judge whether you're obedient or not. And if you're constantly looking for your motives to change without you doing anything to bring that about, they're not going to change. So it's a complex topic, but this is what I told him. Motives are not the evidence of our salvation. Obviously, the evidence of our salvation is the finished work of Jesus Christ. Motives need to change, and they change based on what is taught. Like in Ephesians chapter 4, put on the old man, take off the new man. Colossians chapter 3, if you be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Love is the whole thing. If you love the Lord, then you should serve him. Your motives will change as your focus changes from you-centric to Christ-centric. And that's the last one for today. Come back here next week. We're going to have another mailbag. Until next time, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Thank you. God bless you. And I know I'll see you here next week. If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.